from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to was an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and, of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at our life through the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, 2014. This polished book is called Armedoxy. We're inviting you to take a look with us. This is episode number 294 of The Next Step. And if you're ready, I know I am. Let's kick back right now and take The Next Step. So glad to have you with us today. I hope you're doing well. It's a nice sunny day here in Southern California. And now if you're on that East Coast and in the Midwest here in the United States, wow, I saw pictures this morning. I mean, the blizzards, the whiteness of all that snow. And I think a lot of you in different parts of the world are kind of used to that whiteness during the winter. We have not even seen not only snow, we have not seen any rain this season. And in fact, California is now officially in a drought condition and fueled by forest fires that are taking away what precious water there is. We are in a bad shape right now. So if there's any of you listening and know about the rain dances and can conjure up some spirits to give us some rain out here, we'll take it, okay? But it is a sunny morning, and no matter where you are in the world, I hope you're enjoying a few minutes right now of just relaxation, get together and kick around a few ideas. I want to share with you what's been going on. But let me first begin by thanking you for joining us. It's really remarkable, because just when you think who's out there, it's a very interesting phenomena, podcasting, or I would imagine even radio broadcasting, television broadcasting. You're just assuming that there's people out there listening, right? And there's a Armenian broadcaster over here. It's very funny, actually. Here in Southern California, there's an assortment of Armenian television stations. And I caught one of them the other night. And the guy gets up and he's in welcoming people to his show. And he says, "We are out here and our signal reaches 60 million homes." And giving the impression that there is 60 million listeners that are listening to him. This is an Armenian language show. I mean, there's only 8 million people on the whole planet that understand the language. I mean, not even that much, 5 million, 5 million people. You got 60 million people capable of watching it. Okay, now let's be a little bit more technical. So we are here with this podcast, and we are stretching out to 8 billion people on the planet Earth. Okay, I can make those big statements. But there is a side of me that knows that, we're a little shy of 8 billion listeners. And so it always surprises me when I find somebody who I never would have expected. And this week, I was in Las Vegas at the Armenian church there. I always qualify. I was in Las Vegas because everybody thinks Las Vegas. Okay, there is Father Vazquez. We want to do the visualization. There's a big slot machine. He's sitting under the lights of the slot machine, pulling that handle as somebody's looking on and saying, "What is that colored clergyman doing there?" No. We have an Armenian church in Las Vegas, and the Archbishop sent me there. this last Sunday to do services there. I did the Divine Liturgy. I celebrated the Divine Liturgy. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a few minutes. But afterwards, some lady came up to me and we were talking. And I told her, you know, we do a weekly show called The Next Step. And she knew all about it. And I said, you listen. She says, of course. We get those emails from Susie every week. And I follow your podcast and I follow your ministry. On Epostle. I'm going, oh, thank God that Susie's sending out those things. I mean, she's just like so quick with it. Sometimes she even surprises me. I'll get a file out and next thing I know it's on the internet and I'm going, whoa, when did that happen? But that's the power of the internet. That's the power of these podcasts. They're just reaching out to places that we would just not imagine. So I want to, with all that being said, I want to welcome you wherever you may be on this planet listening to this podcast. And thank you for joining us. I hope that you enjoy this next few minutes that we'll be spending together as much as we enjoy putting these next few minutes together. So let me start off with Las Vegas. A lot of things happened. First of all, we were in Las Vegas for the Divine Liturgy. This is part of the 100th anniversary commemoration of the Armenian Genocide. The Archbishop here, Archbishop Hovnan, has appointed me to go to different churches in our diocese. And once a month I go there and I share with them the story of resurrection. Not about genocide, not about the 1.5 million people that were killed, but about the 1.5 million being the Golgotha, being the Calvary, being the crucifixion from which a new generation, a new group of people have risen and become the resurrection. And of course, I'm talking about the Armenian people. I'm mostly talking about the message of the Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy. Because I firmly believe that, you know, you look at Armenia, you go find a map right now. You look at that map and you see a small little landlocked country, no oceans, nothing around, and no way of getting oil resources to this little area, this landlocked country, which stands right at the crossroads of Europe and Asia and Africa. Yeah, three continents. Think about that. Okay, Armenia's right at the cross point of three continents. And every kind of person has gone through there. They've raped and pillaged the land. And this is a small group of people have never had any really military might or military strategy. But they have had a message. And that message has come to us by Christ. And it's the same message that we tapped into. Remember last week we were talking about Martin Luther King being a reverend of the gospel. Can we do the same? Can we take that gospel message and understand it as a message of liberation for us? Well, I'm firmly convinced. I know. I'm not only convinced. I completely buy into it that there is no other message for us. There is no other message for the entire planet. Yes, violence will only beget violence. There is one surefire way of getting to peace. And ultimately, isn't that what we're looking for? Isn't that what every generation that has come on this planet has looked for? Peace. And what is that peace but that ultimate liberation? That's the liberating. That's what makes you free. To have that freedom means that you're at peace with yourself. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in a few moments because we're going to be looking at the letter of James, which kind of just, it all came to me on this Las Vegas trip. So let me just say it this way, okay? I hit the jackpot. Yeah, I did. I hit the jackpot. All of a sudden, a lot of things came into place this week. And part of it was driving in the car, looking at Las Vegas in a distance. Part of it was the community that we met over there, the people and their expressions, and the occurrences of that divine liturgy, the message that we have. And so, processing that, I want to share that jackpot with you. Wow! How generous is this Father Voskin? Sharing the jackpot. Now, I know. I wish it could be the jackpot you're thinking about. I do really wish it was that kind of jackpot as well. But I got to tell you, I'm very happy with the jackpot that I won, okay? So let me share with you some thoughts. This is the jackpot that I that I discovered, or I could say I don't want to say I won it, but it did evolve into a jackpot of sorts, because it puts a lot of things in perspective. Let me share them with you, and then you be the judge if it's worthy to be called a jackpot or not. You know what? We're at about 10 minutes into the show. Ken's looking over at me. He's like he's got his fingers going, like making motion of a, is that supposed to be a piano or an accordion? I guess it depends on which way you're holding your hand. He's telling me that let's do the music now, and then we'll get right into the scream of things, okay? So how about the song of the day? I'm meeting with my good friend Gor Mkhitaryan in about a couple hours. We're going to be having coffee together. I would love to play you a song from Gor Mkhitaryan.
Und generalne Ritz, charge einfach in Alloritz. Und hey, auf was ich sie das gibt, und sonst kommen ich beste in Ditz. Was geht die Luft nach Ansitz, und es ist wo mein Gmier kam nix. Und gut, ich war zart der Luzione, und da nur mehr auf Luzione. Heika kann, hei Eline, wo das ist. I got Bartu Zanza not Hamid, Art Hencha Kelenk Nersit, Anka Tarieras Neris, Dunch Woman Knush Best Zabit. Մության կատակներից հոգնել ենք ծնվածորից, արնահամ հեքիաթներին արդեն էլ չենք հավատում նորից. Հայկական հայելին է, որ ասես ծաղում է մեզ. Հայկական հայելին է, որ հաստատ խաբում է մեզ.
And it's called Armenian Mirror. It is off of the Godfather Tom, Music of the Armenian Underground, one of the early Gor Mkhitaryan experiences, and I'll definitely have a link on our show notes so you can check out all of his great music. But that one's especially unique, isn't it? You don't hear the banjo, really, not only in Armenian, but in Middle Eastern music, but he does that so well. He combines and fuses that, the use of the banjo and the drums, just a beautiful song. I hope you enjoyed it. Do check out the link on today's show notes. Okay, we just got back from Las Vegas. A lot of stuff happened. First of all, let me share with you The experiences of Las Vegas, and then I'm going to get into some of the thoughts that I had on the trip, because along with the experiences, you know, it's getting there. It's the enjoyment of the drive. And I had a chance to drive out to Phoenix. Yeah, I took, you know how when they say, you know, touch your left ear and you take your right hand and you go around your head, like it's a long way to get to your left ear from the right side. Well, that's what I did. I said, let me sneak to Las Vegas from Los Angeles via Phoenix. Well, of course, I love going through Phoenix. Got a son who lives there, and of course, we love being in Arizona. But we did make it out to Las Vegas, and it was interesting. There was about 15 people in church. Now, this is a community that's on the verge of building a church and building a school, and so you know that there's a lot of Armenians. And apologetically, the priest got up, and he said that, you know, today, I apologize that there's very few people, and certainly no apologies were necessary from him. It's not his fault, but he took it on himself, and I appreciated that. But he said that today we have a parish assembly, and because of that assembly taking place, a lot of the members will be coming to that meeting, and probably it would be too long of a day going through the Divine Liturgy. So we celebrated the Divine Liturgy with 15 people. I couldn't help it. I couldn't stay still when he said that. And I turned to him. This is like right as he's introducing me and apologizing. I said, so in other words, these people who are going to come to the meeting have already deemed it more important to sit at a meeting discussing the plight of the Armenian church there. That's more important than celebrating and participating in the Holy Divine Liturgy, the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I said this, of course, because I see it everywhere. Isn't this the problem of not only the Armenian Church, of all Orthodox churches? Isn't this the problem within the Roman Catholic, within the Episcopal Church, in all traditional mainline churches? What is the problem? There's a disconnect between the administration and the worship life of the community. And obviously the disconnect is because, well, there's no understanding of what that worship is, right? I mean, think about it for a moment, right? If Jesus Christ is being presented, if Jesus Christ, the body and blood of Christ, is being presented, the body and blood of the Savior is being presented, the body and blood of Creator is being presented, and Jesus Christ is in your midst. If you believe this, what is more important on the outside? What possible meeting can you go to that would preempt the celebration of this meeting? Think about it for a moment, right? I mean, you either believe it or you don't. I mean, I'm just telling you what Orthodoxy believes. I'm telling you what Roman Catholicism believes. I'm telling you what the mainline church believes. The body and blood of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, as the priest comes out to the people, he says, this is life, this is resurrection, this is remission of sins. Here it is. Now, well, what is more important on the outside? Tell me, a meeting? Well, you're going to do what? What possible meeting do you have there, right? What possible subject matter do you have there that preempts this, right? Really, seriously, think about it. What, that you need a new plumbing system in the building? Let me think, what else? We need to think about the raises. We have to conserve on the budget. Well, unfortunately, these are the things that people get preoccupied with, because it's so much easier to deal with these mundane, with these, let's say, daily issues, rather than these abstract issues of salvation, of life after death, of peace. But this is really a challenge for us as Christians, right? Isn't it? For us to really believe in what we are selling. And this is really the downfall of the entire Armenian church. of the entire Orthodox Church, the entire Catholicism. This is the downfall of all traditional churches, in that we sell other items rather than the main product that we have. If we believe that this is Jesus Christ that we are presenting, as the priest says, Sayagyan, Kuis Harutyun, this is life, this is hope, this is salvation, this is resurrection. Okay, these are big ticket items, right? And then, in a few moments, we will have the announcements for what's going on after church today. We have a bingo game. We have a dinner dance. And we need you to support these events so that we can keep our church doors open. Well, what message are we sending the people? We're saying, I have a product, but I have something that I need to sell you so I can sell this product. Okay, I'm a shoe salesman, but my shoes, they literally stink. So instead of me selling you the shoes, why don't I sell you some books that you'd like to read? The profit I make from the books, I will take and I will make some great shoes. What? Who would do that? Who would possibly create a business and sell something else? If you're going to create a business, create what you want, you know? Okay, chicken. I want to sell chicken. I want to sell barbecued chicken. Okay, sell that, right? Okay, I'm going to sell barbecued chicken, and I make the best barbecued chicken out there, you know? But nobody's eating this barbecued chicken. Well, what does that tell me? Maybe either my marketing is bad. It's telling me maybe my product is bad. Maybe it tastes good to me. Maybe my taste buds are off. Everybody else can't stand it, right? Maybe my location is bad. But there's a whole assortment of things. But because I'm not selling chicken, I don't say, well, let me go out there and let me start selling perfume. And the revenue that I make from the perfume, I will put into my chicken business to keep it afloat. No, it's absurd. It's absurd, yet we keep doing this. We keep calling this the business plan of the church. Come to our bingo game. Man, if I want to gamble, I'll go to Las Vegas. What do I need your stinking bingo game for, right? What am I going to make? $20? $50? And then God forbid that I win at a church bingo game, right? Because you're going to give me the fisheye then, right? You're going to say, oh, aren't you going to donate that back? This happened to my brother. I'll never forget. This is maybe a 10, 15-year-old story. But he entered a raffle at his church. I won't mention what city it was. He entered a raffle, and he won. It was the first prize. It was a gold necklace. He gave it to his wife. But when they gave him the gold necklace, they also gave him a little envelope, and they said, now that you have won, maybe you'll see yourself clear of making a donation to the church. Yeah, they didn't twist his arm, but, you know, the fisheye was there. You know, we know what you're going to do, and we're telling you what you should do. Okay, I mean, you know, if I'm going to gamble, I'll go to Las Vegas where there's no fisheye. I don't need your bingo. I don't need your raffle. But you know what? If I need the church, if I need Jesus Christ, I'm not going to go to Las Vegas. If I need that salvation, the hope of eternal life, if I need that peace of mind, I'm not going to go to the bookstore. I'm not going to go to the laundromat. I'm going to go to the Armenian church. And I've got to believe in that product. We have to believe in that product. And so when you get up and you say that I've come to a church because I'm going to the meeting, okay. And the structure of the church, the business end of the church, has to exist, and you need qualified people to do that. But shouldn't it be based on a common group of people who have the common understanding of what that business is? And so I couldn't resist when the priest is introducing me like this. I had to throw it out. What's more important? No fault of his own, but I quickly, in the sermon, and you know what, I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can hear. Actually, this sermon had to be only in Armenian, because the 15 people that were there were only Armenian speaking. So it is in Armenian, but I'll put a link on the show notes if you are inclined to listen, it'll be there. And I started off the sermon by sharing the story of Mary and Martha. And by gauging the expressions of the people, I don't think they had heard that story, but it is a beautiful story. What's exactly about this? Mary and Martha, they are entertaining Jesus in their home. Jesus has popped in over at their house, and all of a sudden, they have the Lord in their house. Now, Mary and Martha, both wonderful ladies. And what does the story say? Mary goes and sits at the feet of the Lord, listening to every word that he's speaking. Martha, wonderful, wonderful lady. She's in the kitchen. I mean, the Lord has come to my house. Got to get some coffee. Put out the coffee cakes. How about the fruit? Have I polished them up? Do they look good? You know, making sure that everything is where it belongs. You know, just perfect. And you can't blame her. She has a love for Jesus, too. She has a love for the Lord, right? She wants to make sure that everything is perfect and take care of him. He's in my house. And she's just actually a wonderful lady. And she complains, look at Mary. Mary's sitting there doing nothing and I'm doing all this work. And what does Jesus say? Of the two of you, Mary has chosen the right place. Because when I'm in your midst, all that other stuff doesn't matter. And today is the celebration of the divine liturgy. What is more important on the outside? What is more important at that meeting than what's taking place at this meeting, where the body and blood of Jesus Christ is being shared, where the Holy Eucharist, where the salvation of humanity is expressed, and your opportunity to tap into that eternity is there? What is more important on the outside? And that's a big question. That's a big, big question. I know it seems easy. It's a no-brainer for me and you. But for many people, it's not. Think about it. It's not. Because most people will choose the Martha portion. Most people will choose the meeting portion rather than being there. But it takes us, if you're believing in it, if you're part of the church, you've got to believe in what you have as your product. And so this was one of the experiences that I had in Las Vegas. Of course, then I spoke about, I did my sermon, and it was, I have to say, spiritually satisfactory. The spiritual satisfaction I received was at the end, afterwards, when the deacon came and confessed of the 15 people. He said to me, in his words, he said, I have to tell you, I'm disappointed with the number of people that attended. I'm elated with the number of people that took communion. I guess this was a first, because basically everybody in that room, after hearing the sermon, after understanding that their connection to Christ is through that Holy Eucharist, everyone stood up and everyone took the Holy Communion. So that was one experience. It was a revelation of some sorts, and it was a very spiritually satisfying few minutes that we had in the sanctuary, beautiful sanctuary. They were renting it from a Catholic church, a Catholic Byzantine church. So it had the icons, and I believe if you look, if you look on the sermon page, there's some pictures on there too. So just a beautiful sanctuary. Number two, okay? On my way afterwards, we're going to go into the hall to have lunch. On my way, what do I notice? I notice in front of the icon of the Blessed Mother and Jesus, which is really at the center of the church. Center, let me say, of the wall of the church, okay? There is a chair, the throne, the episcopal throne, and on the throne is the gospel. And it reminded me that, you know, if you look at the patriarch of Constantinople, if you look at his page, in fact, let me make a note. I want to make sure that I put this on the website too, on our show notes today. If you check out the picture of that throne, it's exactly like that. And it makes me think that, you know, isn't that where the center of our faith is? When you look at the authority of the church, it comes from the gospel, it comes from the communion of the saints, and it comes from Jesus Christ, the authority. It's all there with the icon and the chair. It's just a beautiful little reflection. So check out that link as well. Anyway, afterwards we went, had a chance to meet a few people. Like I said, I got a chance to meet some Next Steppers. That was really great too. And then we got on the road. Okay, now, what's happening on the road? Well, I had a rental car. And the rental car had satellite radio. Now, satellite radio is kind of cool because you got like over 100 channels that you could like scan through. I've shared with you in the past some of the things that we've discovered there too. But you know what I discovered? I found a Catholic channel, okay? This is where I want to talk to you about next, okay? The Catholic channel. It was a talk show where people were calling in. Now, here's the interesting thing. The particular show that I listened to, now the drive from Las Vegas back home is about a 4-hour drive, okay? So we got 4 hours of listening. And this was very, very enjoyable listening, I have to tell you. It was a Catholic apologist, somebody who is defending the faith. And for that first, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 hours, he said, I will take only calls from non-Catholics. And I don't know what the criteria was, but the people that got, I guess they had a producer who was screening the calls, okay? So the only calls that he took were people who were non-Catholic. So it weren't some people that are going to say, right on, you know? Yeah, that you said it, brother, amen. It was people who were going to challenge him, challenge the beliefs. And one caller called and talked about Protestantism. Actually, I've got to tell you, out of that, I can't remember if it was 1 or 2 hours that he was on. Of that time, I think most of them, yeah. There was a couple atheists, I want to say. Most of them were Protestants who were challenging Catholicism. And then there was one Orthodox gentleman who got on and he spoke. So I want to share with you some of the conversations because it was enlightening for me. And I have to tell you that I find the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, in its ability to articulate its message to be so dynamic and so inspiring to me. And I pray that our Armenian Church can get to that point. Now, I referred to Archbishop Diran Nersoyan many times. He was the Archbishop in the Eastern Diocese, New York, during the 1950s, later was elected to the Patriarchate of Jerusalem, and eventually lived his retirement years in the United States. But he was basically very articulate in sharing the message of the Armenian Church. He was able to articulate the message in print, in his speeches. And since that time, you really don't have too many people that can really come down and say it with the authority that the Archbishop did. And so when I hear broadcasts like this, I get jealous. Yeah, I say I wish that the Armenian Church can produce these kind of people. Now, this is an art, okay? These are apologists, okay? People who will defend the church. And God knows here in Los Angeles, here in the Glendale area, you really, really need. In fact, I got a, let me read it to you. I got a message from somebody the other day on Facebook. It was somebody who was challenging what we were doing. And he basically, I think his, yeah, let me see if I could even pull it up. Anyway, let me summarize it. It's a guy who's invited me to be on television with him. And he wants to debate whether Christianity helped the Armenian people or was a menace to the Armenian nation. And I guess by the question itself, you know what side he's coming on. And by not only the question to me as a priest, you could figure out which side he's going to be advocating and which side I'm on. And honestly, I told him it's not my forte. I mean, you know, to me, the Armenian Church is the reason why there is an Armenian nation. I believe that. And I know that there are people who do not believe that. I'm on the record for saying why I believe that. I know that we have an alphabet, we have a culture because of the church, and I'm content with that. And really, life is so precious and so limited that the time that we do have, I'm not really interested in defending that portion of my faith. It is what it is. It's what I believe. And obviously, there will always be people who will disagree with that, as I disagree with them. And hopefully, we can respect one another in that disagreement. Because to me, it's not salvific, okay? To me, there's a lot more things that we need to be doing. And I've shared that with you here on The Next Step. Those of you who listen know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, there's enough archives out there that you can, if you really care about what we think about, it's all out there, okay? It's It's all out there in the universe. And so I humbly refused. I said that, you know, it's not my forte. And I suggested that this man go on to maybe to the universities and find a historian who may want to debate that. But for this purpose, these Catholics were basically defending the faith. Now, the Protestant, what does he ask? He asked about, what is it about the Protestants and is there a possibility of rapprochement? And there's a couple answers that he gave. I'm going to lump them together, really. One of them is this beautiful metaphor, which I'm not sure if it's an old metaphor, if it was uniquely this commentator's metaphor. But he likened the Christian church to a boat that from the time of the apostles, they are sailing on. And it is going to its destination. And Jesus sets this boat in motion, and he has Peter as the captain, and he has the apostles as the crew, and he has the bishops through the years who become the replacements of the crew, who become the members of the thing, and the Pope is always running the ship. Now remember, he's coming from a Catholic perspective, okay? And he says that along the way, through the centuries, some people have said, hey, we need to take some other courses. We can get to the promised land. We can get to our destination if we zigged instead of zagged, if we went this way instead of that other way, right? And so there have been disagreements. And so some of these people have created rafts and have jumped out on the lifeboats, on rafts. And so the boat is still continuing, and the rafts are also going in that same direction. They're all trying to get to their destination, but each of these rafts have their own crews, their own captains. You like that? I really like that metaphor. I mean, an explanation of the Pope's primacy and the Roman Catholic Church and how they look upon denominations. So he's talking about the Protestants, how they may be wanting to go to the same place, but they're basically on these rafts. Now, he continued with the plight of these Protestants. Okay, what happens with these Protestants? Because after all, one of the callers said, okay, you not only anathematized our original founders of the Reformation, but you've also excommunicated us. We are not in communion with Rome. And how do you justify this? He says, and he says, but I've noticed that right now you're talking about ecumenism. In other words, you're trying to bring people back. And the way he explained this was like this. He says, okay, yes, like any good parent, when the child disobeys or goes in a different direction, you will punish. And perhaps that excommunication is that means of punishment. But that child goes on to have children. That child's children have children. And so basically you're dealing with the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren of the reformers. Generations removed from those people who went against you. So these generations afterwards are not necessarily against you, but they have also developed their own patterns. And you need to leave a door open so that they can come back in. In other words, those rafts that are out there are being manned by not the people who jump ship, but there are new captains and new crews on there. And they may... they just may, if given the opportunity, agree with the captain of the main boat. Meanwhile, we're all going to the same destination through different methods. Now, that works for me, you know. Of course, the main ship for me is, you know, those non-Chalcedians. Now, we're the main ship. Everybody else built the rafts. But one way or another, it works for me, doesn't it? I'd love to hear from you. Does it work for you? It was very good. It was a nice answer. And this is why I said I get jealous sometimes when I hear the Catholics talk at these levels, because they're opening up dialogue. Today, you don't have that in Orthodoxy. You have blogs here and there, but you don't have this open official dialogue sanctioned by the church that says, I'd love to hear your point and let me respond to it and let's play off of one another. Because, oh, I should say that too, you know, that in this, there was a lot of respect from the point of view of this announcer, and that he demanded respect and he gave respect. He didn't blow off the callers as saying, okay, here's the final answer. He engaged them in a dialogue. And are we ready to engage people in dialogues in our lives? I'm not, forget about church now. Think about you as a parent. Think about you as a member of your community, as a member of your family. Are you open to those dialogues? Can you engage? Can you disagree? Can you agree to disagree? All kinds of answers there. All kinds of questions that need to be answered. So, final question. Came from an Orthodox man, okay? He talked about the primacy of the Pope. The primacy of the Pope. And here the apologist got into a debate with the man. And again, very respectful debate. That, you know, who was the original Pope? Like, in other words, who was selected among the disciples to lead the disciples? And, you know, Orthodoxy has always made that claim that, you know, when Jesus said, Peter, you are the rock, and on this I build my church, that this, that rock, is not the Peter, the individual, but his pronouncement that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, on the proclamation that Jesus is Christ, he builds his church, not necessarily the man Peter. And there is the use of the word Petra, meaning rock, is very important in this entire discussion. Because the Catholic commentator did say that, you know, Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, and Peter was the rock on which he built the church. So this is the straight line Catholic response. So this is what he said. And the Orthodox caller did not reference about what I just mentioned about the proclamation of Peter being the rock. But he did start talking about James. About James and Peter and the disagreement that James was really the original bishop of Jerusalem, that James was the person who Jesus had given the authority of Jerusalem, and so on and so on. And they got into some not only philosophical, but they got into some logistical and historical debates. But it prompted me to really go one more time and look at James. I hadn't looked at the book of James in a long time. And, you know, this whole discussion about faith and works. And so it prompted me to make that the Bible study for our group, actually, our Wednesday night group. So we're starting to unfold. I'm starting to read it again. And in a sense, all of these things that I'm sharing with you, and I'll be sharing more about the James-Peter debate, the Paul debate in the coming weeks as they unfold. I hope to make them lessons here on the next step as well. But what I'm saying is, when I told you earlier that this trip for me was a jackpot, it really was. And I hope you see what I mean. It was a jackpot in many, many levels. Yeah, I got to tell you one more thing that happened. It has nothing to do with anything. About the church, Armenian church, Las Vegas, about the Catholic church, Orthodoxy. It has to do with a personal thing that happened the day before. I was in Phoenix with my son, Vadajan, and we scaled a mountain. All right, it was a hill, okay? It was a pretty big hill. It was rocks. If you're familiar with the Arizona landscape, you know what I'm talking about, okay? It's beautiful rocks out there. And we scaled this mountain. We got up to the top. And we came down, and I was rejuvenated. I hadn't felt that good in a long time. It had been really a long time. And part of it had to do probably with the endorphins that were coming out during the walk, but also the ability to hit that mountain. So in many ways, it was a jackpot weekend. Las Vegas included, with all the metaphors that you want to make. No, I did not win any money in Las Vegas. Now get that out of your mind. I didn't, okay? But with all the other experiences, the trip, the incidents at the church, the thoughts, the listening to radio, with all these things, I do feel like it was a jackpot weekend. And I wanted to share that jackpot with you. So take it. A lot of stuff here. And I'd love to have you share some of your thoughts with me, okay? Drop me a line. Before going on, I'm going to have some parting shots about where we're going with this show and In His Shoes. But let's listen to Susie first.
This is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. the message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, I want to piggyback on what Susie said. It's important that you support this ministry. Number one way is to pray. You know, you pray for a lot of things. Prayer basically means asking. You ask God for the wisdom. And like last night at our first Bible study on the book of James, when we started, we talked about that basic concept that James talks about. Ask for that wisdom. And what is St. Nerses Shnorhali's beautiful prayer? Jesus, wisdom of the Father, grant me wisdom. So we ask for God's blessings in many ways. We ask for those graces of wisdom, of knowledge, of understanding, of patience, of beautiful virtues that we need in our lives. Same thing. Ask for God's blessings upon apostle ministry. Include it with all of the things that you ask for, because those prayers really reach us in a different way. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the Inside the Pomegranate. If you didn't, do check out this last one that came out this past week. I'll put a link on today's show notes as well. Honors talks about a wonderful incident that happened during the homeless outreach. And when you hear it about the shoes, when you hear it, it's not so much that incident, but the real miracle is that possibility was opened up. The real miracle is now people were in tuned to be doing these kind of acts of kindness, generosity, and charity. And so, in other words, those prayers have such big ramifications. Okay, you pray a small prayer, and then all of a sudden you don't know where it's going to open up, but it does open up in different places, and it touches people in different ways. So I ask for your prayers. Listen, where we're going with this ministry, in the next few weeks, we're going to be refocusing on some of the important issues that we've kind of like left. I don't want to say we've left behind, but sort of we've been putting on hold because of the uncertainty inside the world politics. And I've shared with you a lot of times about the politics and religion. I don't believe in politics. I believe that the power that we have, especially you heard me earlier, you know, there is no politics that is going to bring about peace. Real peace has to begin with us. But I do want to lead In His Shoes back to those steps that it was taking in talking about what was going on in Darfur, and today in Sudan, today in Syria. These are the main issues. This Saturday, we're going to be doing the Dativ outreach, get-together, a luncheon. Do check out all of these ministries, because they're all part of that philosophy of walking in the shoes of others, whether it's a homeless feed or reaching out to the foster families, foster children, to the domestic violence victims, or reaching out on the global scale to Darfur and Sudan. These are all part of the ministry that we are part of. And this show and Apostle, well, it's the voice of that ministry. So keep it all in your prayers. In His Shoes, Apostle, keep us. And in return, you have my promise. I keep you in my prayers. I do. Not only daily, but I thank God for this beautiful opportunity, but especially at the Holy Divine Liturgy, before the Holy Table, where we celebrate that liturgy, there's an opportunity for us to pray. I pray for you. I pray for this ministry. And know that together we can do those beautiful things. Hey, listen, in the next few weeks, just hang on. You're going to hear some great, great stuff coming out of here. Like always, what do you expect? The music tells us we are at the end. I want to thank you for joining us. Love to hear from you. Our email address is feedback@epostle.net. Do check out all the wonderful programming at epostle.net, and also look us up on Facebook, St. Peter Armenian Church. That's sort of the flagship. Not the mothership, the flagship. We have our annual parish assembly coming up this Sunday, where we put together the budgets for all of this stuff. So thank God for that beautiful parish in Glendale. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.